This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham. Next segment, we have to honor one of our contestants in our Seinfeld side character tournament. Passed away, I believe, at the age of 87 on Tuesday. So we will play some sound from a character that I think I liked more than you did, Mike.
Yeah, and you know, just in case anyone's worried or concerned, he did not get it playing in our tournament. We tested everyone afterwards.
Yes.
All the tests came back positive or negative. So.
Yeah, not positive. Yeah. Come on, man.
I meant clean.
We had strict testing protocols. So
they're all quarantined.
Right. So it was not due to that, but we will honor one of our contestants who passed away on Tuesday. So we'll do that next segment. Play one of my favorite clips. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. I'll talk some basketball in a second. First, let's talk to the Weave. What's up, Weave? Weave, are you there? Weave. All right, Weave's gone. We'll see if we hear back from the Weave. But talking a lot of baseball tonight with the proposal to the players, which seems like a non-starter to me. Who do you side with on this? I don't know how you can side with the owners. I don't. And, I really do love when people are like, I don't side with either side. I side with baseball. It's like such a cowardly stance. You got to take a side on this. Both should move off their spot. I agree with that. But one side's more right than the other, and the players are much closer to the side of being right than the owners are on this. And if the owners don't take the hit for the players and they don't take the hit for the financial losses, it's on them. And it makes me wonder, it really does, after this proposal that is so ridiculous from a standpoint of being something the players would even reasonably consider, it really makes me think, maybe the owners have done the calculations and decided we'll lose less by not playing. And maybe they have decided at this point we're better off just not playing a season, going back at it next year. I would caution against that because if they decide to go that route, I think there are a lot of baseball fans that are going to harbor resentment and not come back to the sport and be really irritated by how all this plays out because the country is really yearning for that sport and sports to watch over the summer. And if they can't figure this out and it falls apart over money, regardless of who you blame, it's going to be something that's going to lead people to harbor resentment for a long time. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Also, we gave you the hockey situation. They're going to do a 2014 playoff. Round robin for the top four seeds who have a bye. Flyers in that group. So the Flyers would be playing a round robin situation with Tampa, Boston, Washington to determine seeding. 5-12 would essentially the quarterfinals is. That's a best of five series. Haven't determined length of series beyond that until the conference finals, which conference finals, Stanley Cup final will still be seven games. But the NHL at least has their playoff system figured out. Still haven't figured out the rest of it, which I think is the more confusing part. But the NHL letting you know with certainty what the playoffs will look like in that sport, even though Michael Wilbon was very confused. Very confused for reasons I still cannot understand. And now I want to get into basketball here because the NBA, throughout all this, has been the league that I've been most confident in coming back in general and coming back in the best way possible. I just think they are the league that is run the best. You know, we have our issues with Adam Silver in this town. People who believed in what Sam Hinkie was doing and believed in the plan that he was trying to execute because Adam Silver ran him out of town. I think that's pretty clear. But in general, I think Adam Silver has done a good job managing that league. He has a very good relationship with the Players Association, which is something that Rob Manfred does not have with baseball and is one of the gaps that is struggling to be bridged in that sport between the owners and the players when you don't have that middleman. You don't have that kind of unifying force in baseball. Adam Silver is that unifying force in basketball. We played sound last week from Adrian Wojnarowski talking to Jeff Passan and saying how cordial the conversations were between Adam Silver and the players and the feedback that he was getting from players and the fact that everything seems to be running smoothly under Adam Silver's stewardship. So where the NBA is right now, they're talking about going down to Orlando to finish the season. Looks like it's going to happen. Makes sense for a variety of different reasons. Disney being the parent company of ABC ESPN, ABC ESPN being the primary television partner of the NBA, it just makes too much sense for that not to be how this all plays out. But what this is leading to is a lot of people offering different opinions on how the season should continue and what the NBA should do in terms of finishing out their season. And this kind of goes to the whole stupid asterisk discussion, which it just I can't take that anymore. Like, it could not be dumber to me, the idea of, well, will we put an asterisk next to the title if somebody wins this year? No, we're not going to do that. Probably not even going to remember. If we do the playoffs the normal way, I would doubt that that's even something that gets remembered. Like, do we think back to the 1999 lockout season? And is there an asterisk next to the 1999 San Antonio Spurs? Like, is there an asterisk next to that team? Are these things that we really end up remembering in the end?
You know what? To that point, wasn't it just last night we were saying we don't remember one thing ever being talked about with that season?
No, I don't remember anything about that season. But it was kind of a forgettable year.
Well,
it was the first year post-Jordan, which I think lends to it as well. Like, if the Bulls are playing the Spurs in the finals and Michael Jordan's leading the Bulls to another finals appearance, I think we remember it a lot better. And I don't think we look at it as, oh, that was the lockout year. We look at it as, yeah, that was Michael Jordan going for his fourth in a row.
Yeah, just a little bit of irony in that. Like, we just brought up last night about how it's never talked about, and then,
right,
you know, now you're saying that there's no asterisk.
Yeah, no, I agree. And in a minute, we'll play some sound here from Woj, from his podcast. But when people bring that up, they always bring up, like, is this a legitimate season? Like, can we look at this as a legitimate season? We may look back and remember it was different, certainly. But the ideas that people are having, and this is what I don't understand. the ideas that people are having lend to it being looked at as an illegitimate season. Like, it won't be looked at any differently if you do the playoffs the way that they're always done. But these the ideas that I'm seeing about let's do it World Cup style and let's do a group stage, and that guy Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer was, you know, wrote a whole piece on it that I started to read, but it was just long and drawn out about how we should do it soccer style, do it how European leagues do the soccer tournaments. Like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you want to delegitimize a title. That's how you delegitimize a title. When you just decide, okay, we're going to do our postseason completely differently than we've ever done it before. And the idea that they had was, you know, you bring 20 teams back, you divide them into five groups, and the two best teams from each group after playing eight games or something move on to the playoffs. It's like, no, that's stupid. Just do the Western Conference, do the Eastern Conference, and play the playoffs. Don't cheapen, you know, don't change your entire procedure. Like, people that are worried about that, it's just funny because they're talking about the asterisk and if this will be a legitimate season. Well, it won't be if you all of a sudden for 1 year just change everything about it. Like, you played it. It's not like you didn't play much of the regular season. If you wanted to do something different and you had only gotten through 35, 40 games, that would be significantly different situation. You had, what, 15 to 20 games left in the regular season in the NBA? And let's be honest, with 15 to 20 games left in the regular season, most teams are coasting anyway. Most teams are load managing their players. Do you remember watching the Sixers at the end of last year? They were sleepwalking into the playoffs. Embiid wasn't playing. The Sixers were going down. They were losing in Atlanta. They were losing all these games they had no business losing because they didn't care about the end of that year. That's the way most NBA teams are anyway. If you want to go and you want to play some games to get guys in shape, even if you want to play a play-in tournament for the 7 and 8 seeds, I'm fine with that. You know, if you want to give some teams that were on the brink of the playoffs opportunities to get in, I'd be fine with going that route. But changing everything and all of a sudden going to a World Cup-style format, it doesn't make sense. I'm worried about Silver doing it because Adam Silver seems like enamored with this idea of the soccer style where he wanted to bring in like a mid-season cup, a mid-season tournament. It's like, who would give a damn about that? Seriously, what team that has an opportunity to win an NBA title would care about that? I guess like the Sacramento Kings would be excited. Maybe they finally win something. A team like that that is never has an opportunity to win a championship. But it's just the idea of that is just so dumb to me. I don't even like the other thing they're talking about, which is getting rid of the conferences and just seeding them 1 to 16, because I think that, why would you just change at this point? Why wouldn't you just do Western Conference, do Eastern Conference, do it the way you always do it? It doesn't make sense to me why you would change everything up. And for the people that are so worried about this being looked at as an illegitimate season, and people were looking at this being some kind of illegitimate result, it would only be that if you change your whole postseason format. If you keep it the way it is and you just say, do what the NHL did, end the regular season, you want to give some other teams opportunities to get the 7 and 8 seed, I'm fine with that. But aside from that, going to the World Cup group format, going to, you know, merging the conferences together, it just doesn't make any sense for the NBA to go that route. And I don't know why people are trying to complicate this so much. Regular season pretty much over anyway. Just end it. Bring the teams back. Give them some games to get ready for the top seeds. Do a little play-in tournament for the 7 and 8 seeds because those teams probably going out pretty quickly anyway. Play your playoffs. And whoever wins 16 games wins the NBA title, just like always. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, when we get back, we will play some sound from Woj, who did a podcast with Zach Lowe talking about all this stuff. So we will get to that next segment, play some sound about the asterisk situation, which is it's just the dumbest debate. Should we put an asterisk next to this title? No. Whoever wins is going to win. They'll be the champions. And if the Sixers win, which I doubt they will, but if they do, do you think we're going to really care? Do you think we're going to look at it as being a cheap title? No, absolutely not. So sound on that and some of the other stuff that they're going back and forth on. We'll play that next. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly. At the end of the segment here, we will have our tribute to one of our contestants in our Seidenfeld side character tournament who passed away on Tuesday. We'll do that at the end of the segment here. Remember, Gabe coming next segment. How many clips do we have from Gabe today, Mike, in his update on the I-5 series with Dave Roberts?
Yeah, we actually don't have any Gabe direct comments on that. But it's okay. I mean, we'll recap what happened, and then you'll see. There's really not much for him to say. What we do have is, you know, talking about the crowd noise, whatever, a take on that with walk-up songs, an update on if he's working on his spitting, and now that their spring training site is open in Arizona, if he's going in at all.
Okay, but this isn't directly from Gabe?
No, it's from Gabe. It's just not, we don't have any, like, official Gabe comments on the I-5 series.
On the I-5, okay, yeah. Gotcha. He was with the KMBR guys on Tuesday?
Yeah, they just moved a spot down today.
All right, well, we'll see how that goes. I'm sure it was... When's he going back in the box? When's he going back in the box? In the box podcast?
Oh, Inside Shelter?
Oh, yeah. Shelter in place.
Oh, I love those
Inside
guys.
The box is what I thought it was.
Yeah, those guys are pretty fun, I would imagine, to have a Zoom with.
Yeah, I was hoping Gabe could get back in with those people soon and do a podcast with them.
I know you're a big
GOAT
guy, right?
Yeah, I want to hear from that. I want to hear more from that guy. Try to get that guy on the show some night and see what his deal is.
Yeah.
might
be free.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Get him, 3 a.m. here is what, midnight in California? He might be able to do that. So we'll see if we can figure that out. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in on the baseball proposal, which we had discussed at length earlier with the owners and players seemingly more far apart than they have been at any point during this process. And not what you want to hear when this is the week that things need to come together for all these leagues. And if they don't have plans, they don't have agreements. I see it being, I have a very difficult time seeing those seasons and those sports being played this summer. So if you want to get in on that, you're welcome to. And right now, talking about the NBA and talking about a variety of topics with it. And I don't get the idea of people challenging the legitimacy of a title. And some of it is, it goes back to people saying, well, what if the best team doesn't win? Very often the best team doesn't win. I've heard people say, like, well, what would if the Houston Rockets win or the Sixers win or somebody like that? Like, it's only legitimate if the Lakers, Bucks, or Clippers win. Like, why? Like, are there say the 2010 Flyers, hypothetically, had won the Stanley Cup. Would we have looked at that and said, oh, they didn't get into the last day of the season. They just got hot in the playoffs. We got to put an asterisk next to that.
I mean, it was just 4 years ago the NBA crowned a champion because Draymond Green responded negatively to a grown man putting his groin on his face.
Right. Like a 73-win team didn't win a couple years ago. Like, right. if we just wanted the best team to win every year, then what's even the point of the playoffs? I don't know. Wilbon finds it so confusing that maybe we should just crown a regular season champion. Like, I don't remember in 2010 when the Flyers on this great cup run, us being like, well, it's not really legitimate. They didn't get in.
The Devils were the two seed. Devils
right.
would have won.
Right. They didn't get in until the last day of the playoffs, so it doesn't really count. Or the 2005 Steelers were a six seed, or the 2012 Ravens were a four seed. Like, who cares? The best team doesn't win. What does it matter? Why do people freak out over this?
The Eagles were underdogs in every playoff game they
right.
played.
I mean, did a lot of people think Toronto was going to win the title last year? Kawhi, fake MVP. Put an asterisk next to that MVP. Unless the Warriors won it, that's the only way it's legitimate. It doesn't make any sense. They have been off for a while. I guess that's why some people think they can question that legitimacy, even though they will have, 6 weeks to get ready to resume play. And I think in the end, the better teams will mostly end up winning. But here is Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe. They did a podcast together here. Here are those guys talking about whether the NBA is concerned about the legitimacy of a title being won.
What is at stake for the NBA is not whether the champion gets all their due on First Take this year, or with us, or with anybody. The future of this league is at stake. How this league is going to look, not just this year or next year, but for years to come. There are still potentially very dark scenarios for a lot of franchises financially. And for the competitive balance of this league, for small market teams who have no idea how they, without fans next year or without revenue sharing, are going to be able to put any kind of competitive team on the floor or pay their employees, that's what we talk about, but the legitimacy of the champion, while it is relevant and has value, how about the entire foundation and baseline of the league? And to me, whatever best helps to preserve that, to propel this league into whatever next year is going to look like, is what the NBA should do, not how it affects the legacies of a few different individuals who might be on the championship team.
I totally agree. Like, it's true. Like, who cares whether Michael Wilbon thinks, is this a legitimate championship? Because I'll tell you what, they won't win it, they probably won't even be involved, but if the Chicago Bulls won a championship, I doubt Michael Wilbon be all that outraged about it. Or his beloved Blackhawks, as he said before. But it shouldn't matter. Like, this is still these are still the same teams that stopped playing in mid-March. And I don't understand when people say, well, it's been too much time, you just got to cancel the season. So you want no champion? You just want nobody to get rewarded for this season? You play the playoffs, and whoever wins four series wins the title, just like you always do. It's really not that complicated. The next part of it is what I addressed last segment. These Kevin O'Connors of the world and these people who want to be innovators and do things differently. And this piece that I read, it was way too long just explaining about we need to do group play. We need to do it like the World Cup. And it was just stupid. Play the playoffs the way you always play the playoffs. But I've heard a lot of people talk about this group play format being something the NBA should adopt for the remainder of this season. Here is Zach Lowe and Woj talking about the group play aspect of it.
What the objection I've heard to it is from the sort of solid mid-rung playoff teams who say, wait a second. I'm in a group now, and New Orleans gets to be in this, okay? And Portland gets to be in this. These teams won 12, 13 games fewer than we did. If I have a bad week or one of my players gets the virus or Zion goes nuclear for four games, New Orleans gets a second-round playoff spot and I go home and it doesn't even feel like I made the playoffs? That doesn't seem fair to me.
He's 100% right, because the way they're talking about it is this idea that's on the table is there would be four groups, all of five teams. They would all play each other twice, so you'd play eight games. So all of a sudden now, and this is why the group format makes no sense, because then you really are delegitimizing your season. You're totally throwing out your regular season, essentially. Because you're saying it doesn't matter where you finished in the regular season. If you're a top 20 team, we're going to divide you into groups. And we're basically going to have an 8-game regular season to determine who are the final 8 remaining. And it's funny when he talks about mid-tier teams. Mike said it to me during the clip. That is the Sixers. Like, if this happens, the Sixers are a team that is being put at a disadvantage by this. Because you end up being a solid 6 seed in the Eastern Conference. I don't know. If you end up playing a couple games before the playoffs, you could move into the 4-5 matchup. That's not a horrible spot to be. But if you go into a match play format, you go down and you're playing 8 games against 4 different opponents. You play them each twice. And he's right. If you don't end up advancing out of that, it's like you didn't even make the playoffs at all. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we overthinking it to really help a team like the Pelicans? And I understand people like to see Zion, but let them play for the 7 and 8 seed. Do a little 7 and 8 seed play-in tournament, but putting all 20 teams, putting teams on a fair level of ground. Like, could you imagine this? Think about this. In terms of delegitimizing the season, when people talk about asterisks and stuff like this, if, say, you come back and you do a match play format, and somehow the Lakers don't make it out of their group, then all of a sudden, you're having a final playoff without the team that was the best in the league, or take the Bucks for example, and you end up having a playoff without maybe your two best teams being in it? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. So the match play thing, I really hope that they decide to go away from that because it really doesn't make any sense for the NBA to go that route. The other idea on the table is maybe getting rid of conferences. I find it interesting, but I also don't like it because I think it changes too much. That's not the way we went into the season. That's not the way teams were planning. And again, something that probably puts the Sixers at a bit of a disadvantage. But if you reseeded teams 1 to 16, you would get rid of the conferences here and just, you know, seed them straight through. Here is Woj and Zach Lowe on that.
Everybody in the league has to be thinking about what's the best show we can put on here, and while also keeping the legitimacy of a playoff structure that crowns a legitimate NBA champion.
Well, Brooklyn and Orlando will throw fit at my plan, at any plan that jeopardizes their standing as cemented playoff teams in the East. And as you said, all the East owners, probably all of them, would not want 1 to 16, even now, because I think some of them would view it as opening Pandora's box to 1 to 16 becoming a permanent thing, even though I don't think that's really on the table as anything like a permanent thing, even if they do it this year. And as I said, Milwaukee would be looking at a different bracket that now features them having to go through both LA teams. Brooklyn and Orlando would say, wait a second, we were in the East all year, why us?
Yeah, and obviously the teams in the East will have a greater gripe because the Western Conference is stronger. Now, you ask how that would affect the Sixers. Sixers will be in a weird spot where if they're in the East and they're the sixth seed, assuming, you know, you don't play any regular season games, seeding doesn't change or anything like that, they'd play Boston as the 3 seed. If you seeded 1-16 straight down like that, the Sixers would still end up playing Boston because they'd be the 12, and the Celtics would be the 5. The difference would be, though, and where it would work against the Sixers, is if you reseeded all this, if the Sixers were to beat Boston, the second round matchup, because if you're in the East, the Sixers are playing what? The winner of Toronto-Orlando or Toronto-Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Toronto-Orlando. So, okay. Toronto, tough matchup, but a series that you could conceivably see the Sixers winning.
Yeah, I mean, I think they went 1-1 against each other this year.
Well, there was the game in Toronto where Embiid didn't score.
Yeah, and then there was a game like a week before Christmas, the Sixers dominated them at home.
They did?
Yeah.
That makes sense. They may have lost another one there. I'm not sure. I could be wrong about it. I'm not sure. But Toronto, I could see the Sixers beating Toronto in a series. Like, that's something that you could see happening. Now, if the Sixers got by Boston and it was just seeded 1-16 straight out, they'd be facing the winner of the Clippers and Dallas in the second round. I wouldn't want to see either of those teams. I'd rather see Toronto than Dallas.
What if a pandemic causes the Sixers to have to play Kawhi in the second round yet again?
Exactly. You'd end up seeing Kawhi in the second round again. And he's right. Like, that's not fair to a team like Milwaukee that all of a sudden they got to beat the Clippers and the Lakers to win a title, and they had the best record in the league.
Yeah, that would have been playing like they would have been playing the Pacers or the Heat in round two.
Right. That's not fair. So I don't see and I think that's going to be the downfall of that, is the East won't let that through. But the one funny thing about that is hearing the rumors that if they reseed like that and they get rid of the conferences, the 1-16 matchup would be the Lakers and the Nets. And apparently, if that's the case, KD's like pushing to come back and Kyrie's working out. Like, the only reason why I might want to have that happen is to see a Brooklyn LA series in the first round, because that would be pretty fun. But that wouldn't be fair to the Lakers at all. Could you imagine being the Lakers? And I guess you could say that wouldn't be fair to the Bucks. But I feel like that's the only thing where KD only wants to come back if he's playing LeBron. Like, I feel like he's not playing LeBron. I don't think they're going to bring him back anyway. It doesn't make sense. Because you can have, I mean, this gives you an opportunity if you're Brooklyn to sit KD till Christmas now.
They don't even have a coach, right?
Yeah, who's their coach? They fired Atkinson.
Whoever the interim coach is. They were just going to play out the string.
Yeah. I feel like Bernie Bickerstaff is like
he's like the Pete
or JB Bickerstaff.
Yeah,
he's like the interim coach of. I just feel like he's the interim coach of every team in the NBA.
He's the Pete McCannon of the NBA.
I think he actually does have a job now, but as a head coach, maybe Memphis.
No,
because he took over for Jaeger there.
No, Memphis hired a good young coach.
Okay,
Follow up something earlier. You're correct. The Raptors did win two games at home.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll take a win on that one.
All right.
And then, so that's all the playoff stuff. But the other thing with the NBA that they're trying to figure out, what do they do with the positive test? Here are Lowe and Woj talking about that possibility.
They can figure out the basketball. They've done that before. The risk is going in and starting something, Zach, that you can't finish. And that might be fairly disastrous.
There are doomsday scenarios. There's no question about it. And there is some number of players, particularly if it's starters or key rotation guys, if they're out, there is a breaking point at which a playoff series becomes untenable to continue. And I don't know what that point is. I don't know how many players that is. I don't think the league has a hard figure for it. If this were a case of player X test positive for the coronavirus, now we have to quarantine before game three of the first round or something. Now we have to quarantine everyone on his team and everyone on the other team for an extended period of time. If that were the protocol, they wouldn't be able to do this, because it just, you would run out of time too quickly. Now, I don't know that the NBA yet has an exact answer for the question of what happens when a player tests positive. What happens, part of it will be, obviously, he is isolated and has to quarantine. It's more what happens to the other players.
Yeah, and that's going to be the aspect of this they're going to have to figure out, is what happens to the other players. Because you can remove the guy who tests positive, but how do you know that he hasn't infected other players? And that's where it comes down to, you know, the accuracy of the testing, whether there are false positives or false negatives. But I think the NBA can figure that stuff out. And I think if you really do the bubble aspect of it right, you might be able to keep it out altogether, and it's going to be an interesting study on it. But you see, sports around the globe, they seem to be able to resume, and I haven't heard of players testing positive. So hopefully the leagues can learn from what's been going on around the world and incorporate that into their own policies. 215-592-9494. And before the break here, we got to pay tribute to Richard Hurd, who passed away on Tuesday. A Seinfeld side character, was in our tournament, I believe was a second round participant. He won his first round matchup. I'm a much bigger fan than Mike was, but Mr. Wilhelm was the character that Richard Hurd played, who was George's boss with the Yankees, and I picked out my favorite scene here, dealing with Mr. Wilhelm, and this is a great one. This is when George is suspected of, what was stealing merchandise?
Yeah, stealing merchandise, and he walks in on him on the phone ordering, or in reference to shoes that he ordered from Jimmy.
Right, right. And Mr. Wilhelm, at this point, already suspicious of George stealing merchandise from the Yankees, and George eating spicy chicken and therefore perspiring. Not a great time for that.
Oh, man. Who's George? Oh, Sports Wholesalers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks for calling me back. No, no, no. I still got the shoes. Still got the shoes. Lots of them. Yeah, this is beautiful athletic here. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to call you right back. Yeah, all right. Mr. Wilhelm.
So, George, have you heard anything about the missing equipment?
No, no, not a thing.
You know, George, there's nothing I hate more than a liar.
Well, there's no room for someone like that in this organization.
Are you feeling all right, George?
Fine.
You look a little warm.
It's a chicken.
You're a terrible liar, George. Look at you. You're a wreck. You're sweating bullets.
It's the Kung Pao. George likes his chicken spicy.
George did like his chicken spicy. But that was my favorite Wilhelm clip involving him. George really is star of that one, but Mr. Wilhelm passed away on Tuesday, so another great Seinfeld side character in our tournament. Pay tribute to Richard Hurd on this day. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, when we get back, time of the show you've all been waiting for, we will hear from Gabe Kapler. He does check in with the KNBR crew in San Francisco, and we'll get an update on his I-5 tournament. I don't know, some weird simulation he's doing against Dave Roberts, North California players, South California players. But we will let you hear how that's going for Gabe. When we get back, I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Henderson leads away from second. Drysdale checks him. Now the pitch to Bonds. Swung on, and that ball is blasted. And you can forget about this one. What a shot to straightaway center field. And over everything. Maybe headed all the way to the Bay Bridge. An incredible home run by Bonds. Out into the parking lot and onto 16th Street, I think. If not all the way to the Bay Bridge. And Northern California has jumped ahead 2-0. Only two batters into the game.
They got John Miller to call these games?
Yeah, big deal.
Wow. He's a good broadcaster. I like John Miller. I liked when he was on the... Was he on the ESPN broadcast, I guess?
He was on Sunday Night Baseball for like 25 years.
Yeah, he's a good broadcaster. I guess that's what happened in the... That was a Northern California, Southern California game one. And that was Gabe's... Mike let me know during the break. That was Gabe's walk-up song from 2008, which ties in to Only the Winds here, as I didn't know this. Gabe was on the 2008 Brewers team that the Phillies defeated in the playoffs, which we played yesterday. That was one of my favorite games to ever go to as a fan. I was at that game sitting in the left field bleachers under Harry the K's in that second section up there. And that Brett Myers at bat was one of the most incredible situations because every time he fouled a pitch off, it just got louder and louder, and you could tell, like, and CC Sabathia was so good that year, you could tell he was rattled in that spot. Like, you could tell I think it was just annoying him more than anything. Like, I don't think he was, like, intimidated. I think he was getting annoyed that Brett Myers kept fouling off these pitches.
Because, you know, if you're on 3 days rest and you're trying to be, you know, economical with your pitch count.
Right.
And you're like, I'm blowing 10 pitches to this guy.
You got this damn pitcher up there who they had two outs and obviously ends up not just working up. At the time, you're thinking, because I think the Phillies had one on one out or one on two out. And at the time, you're just thinking, you know, you run around first two outs, work up the pitch count, whatever.
Turn the lineup over.
Right. It's not going to lead to any runs. But then he finally works the walk. Then what did he walk Rollins after that?
I think on four pitches that like weren't even close.
Right. And then I remember sitting in left field and Victorino hits the fly to left, and that's kind of right under where I'm sitting. And I'm just thinking at the time, like, no way. No way. And it goes out, and that was just incredible. And the Phils never looked back after that. But Gabe on the losing side that day, the question is, was Gabe on the losing side yesterday?
Yeah. You know, as you heard there, big start to the game. Ricky Henderson leadoff single, steal second. Bonds homers on the next pitch.
So Bonds is a Southern California guy.
Northern California.
Bonds'
father played for the San Francisco Giants. I think he was born out there. Yeah.
Okay. And that's Gabe's team.
Yeah, so they put up five runs in the first inning, and they had a six-run third inning where Bonds homered again, as well as John Miller's former broadcast partner, Joe Morgan. They got up, jumped out to 11-0 lead and cruised from there. So they take game one. Game two heads to Candlestick Park. So
how many games are in this series?
Best of seven.
But why is it changing after game one?
They're playing in seven different ballparks.
Oh, okay. All in California or just around the country?
No, all in California. So game one, that was, he referenced in the cut, the ball rolls to like 16th and Bryant, he said, out of the ballpark.
Is
the
Giants old stadium?
It was the Seals stadium.
Okay.
I think it was a minor league team before the Giants moved out there.
Okay, so Gabe loses game one.
Gabe won game one.
He won game.
They won 11-6.
Well, I asked you if he was victorious, and you said no.
Well, I don't know why.
Miscommunication, yeah. I guess. So what was the final score?
11-6.
11-6. How did Tulowitzki do? Because we had the debate earlier. I thought he should have started Jimmy.
I got to be honest. I didn't go through every yet. Okay. I settled for the lead all, or the home run in the first inning.
No problem. I thought there was box. I thought they'd have a box score. This is all weird. I don't know. Do we know what the pitching matchup is for game two? If not, no big deal.
I think it's Seaver and Gabe's throwing Seaver. I don't know who's pitching for the Southern.
Okay. Well, we'll see who wins. I guess next week we'll have the result and results of this series. So we'll have to maybe we'll do a whole show.
Maybe we'll have the results by Friday if they sweep.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So Gabe wins game one. Now Gabe did his weekly appearance on Tuesday this week. Usually goes on in San Francisco on Monday, but obviously Memorial Day. So Gabe doing his interview on Tuesday. What do we have from Gabe today, Mike?
Yeah, we played that walk-up song, and Gabe made an interesting comparison of walk-up songs. To him, they're like tattoos. I've never made that connection before, but Gabe explains that away.
And it's really kind of a sign of the times. I think it kind of like tattoos by way of example. If you go back and you ask somebody about their tattoos, they always have a story about it. And when I'm thinking about walk-out songs, 2008, I was with the Milwaukee Brewers, and I had just started kind of practicing meditation as like a visualization technique for hitting. And so there was this old DJ Crush song, it was all instrumental, and I used it as a meditation song, like a 5-6 minute breathing session. So I walked up to the plate in Milwaukee 2008 with the Brewers. We went to the playoffs that year to this kind of like meditative hip hop track from DJ Crush. And yeah, like to your point, that felt like it really helped me. And I would definitely want them to keep replaying that one and not mix it up.
So Gabe enjoyed his walk-up song, so it helped him meditate as he was going to the plate.
He slipped in that they had a good year, as if like the two things are connected.
Yeah, yeah. He said, yeah, we had a really good year. Like his season was really great because of his walk-up song. I don't think it really mattered that much. What else do we have from Gabe?
All right, so remember last week we played his spit routine about
how could I forget?
Yeah, it's going to be a tremendous challenge for him. The guys checked in to see how he's doing with, I guess, kind of quitting cold turkey.
Have you worked on controlling your spitting?
I understand why you bring that up. It's one of those interesting things. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out on that front.
We're talking to Gabe. I know the answer. Thank you. Got it.
No, you're gonna see Gabe dive after something. He'd be like, "Oh, I spit! I gotta catch that." Oh,
no! I mean, look, there's a very real chance. All things,
oh yeah,
you know, right? Like that's a real possibility.
Of course. Wow. Yeah, well, spitting would not be good then. I get that would not that'll be good. Cure you really quick. Oh man,
you get the spit back in your face on a wet rag.
That's what I meant.
These guys continue to get weirder every week. Like they are so awkward. They are so these interviews are so awkward. They are so like it makes me cringe listening to Gabe. Like I actually enjoy the parts listening to Gabe, but listening to these guys is just so awkward. And but Gabe said, you know, I understand why you bring that up. It will be interesting to see how it plays out. It won't be interesting to see how it plays out at all.
It's a non-negotiable thing.
There's nothing about it interesting at all. I don't really get it. Do we have any more from Gabe today?
Yeah, so this is interesting. Their facility in Scottsdale is open back up, obviously with certain protocols and certain restrictions. Apparently they can only have 3 coaches in at a time. Now, Gabe explains why he's letting the other coaches show up while he chills at home. I don't know, Tom, what do you think after we play? Tell if you think this is a convenient excuse to call out of work or if there's a good reason behind it.
No, that's interesting, and I'll share. So Scottsdale Stadium is right down the street from where I'm staying. Mm. However, we have the ability to have 3 coaches at any given time in the facility. Dave Greshner and our medical team are there and running point. They're doing a tremendous job. But if I go in, that means one of our position coaches, who's going to be responsible for getting Brandon Crawford and Evan Longoria, who are there, ready to play defense, or one of our hitting coaches, who's in there with Hunter Pence, who is hitting bombs today in batting practice. People were raving about that. Then I'm there. That means they can't be there. And now I made the decision that it's more important that they're in the facility.
Well, obviously understandably smart.
Understandably smart. Yeah, that does seem like a convenient excuse. I like when Gabe said Hunter Pence, who's hitting bombs, by the way.
Right.
Hunter Pence is still hitting. I didn't even know he's still playing baseball.
Yeah, they brought him back. Yeah, he went away for a year in Texas. Hit pretty well against left-handed pitching. He's kind of now a platoon player, if anything.
Yeah, but Hunter Pence hitting bombs, and then Gabe pretty much saying, admitting that he doesn't have that much impact if the other coaches have more impact than him.
Yeah, so it's either he doesn't feel like working, which knowing Gabe, I don't think that's it.
No,
we can rule that out.
Gabe's a meticulous worker.
So,
or maybe he's become addicted to video games. So, maybe he's hooked on the show and he can't leave.
It's instead, I'm too useless. I'd be taking up a spot from somebody more useful than me. So I'm going to let somebody under me be more useful while I sit out.
That's more or less what he said. Yeah. That's pretty much exactly what he said. Any more, or is that it today?
No, that's it for today. So
okay.
Best of luck to Gabe in game 2, and we'll be rooting him on.
Yeah, well done, Mike. Thank you for pulling that audio of Gabe. We'll see what Gabe's got next week, next Monday, when he goes back on. With KNBR, maybe he'll go back inside the box. We'll see where Gabe is. He always finds a way to get on a microphone and give us sound to use. So we appreciate that. 215-592-9494. When we get back, I want to kind of recap some of the things that we've been discussing, and also one final thing from The Last Dance that I haven't gotten to yet. One former Bull really not happy with a lot of the things that were said and how he was portrayed. So we'll play some of that sound when we get back. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham with you for another segment here. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494.
We almost had a early something show.
Yeah, I know. I ran to the bathroom real quick, and I'm telling you, it's that stupid soap thing. I've been telling you for so long, Mike, that soap dispenser.
Yeah, you've been telling me for so long you love to touch.
No, it ended up my take ended poorly. because I said I didn't. I don't like the automatic
it
soap
right
dispenser
before the coronavirus
because they don't always work. I have my hand under it and I'm moving my hand trying to get the soap to dispense. It will not dispense. And finally, I got it to work. And I'm walking back, and the music's playing, and Mike's like directing me in to the studio.
I was about to jump on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it's the, and then the hand dryer thing doesn't work great.
Yeah, that was the other thing. You just love touch.
No,
was,
well,
before the coronavirus, you
before
loved
the
touching.
Coronavirus, I just thought it was easier to just pump the soap. If I'm washing my hands anyway, I didn't think it was that big a deal to pump it and then wash my hands and then, you know, dry them. But now I do see that I don't want to. Now I don't want to touch anything. But those soap dispensers, they don't always work right. The automatic ones. Am I the only person who has these issues? Maybe.
I wouldn't want the trade-off.
No, I think you're right in the end, but it's those damn soap dispensers. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in here, most of the night talking about the Major League Baseball proposal, which it's just a non-starter. And, you know, I think everybody's hoping that this initial proposal from the owners would be a jumping off point. And not that anything was going to be agreed upon, because I think we all kind of knew that this was going to be a back and forth. Players would come back with their counter, and hopefully by the end of the week we'd have something. But I'm starting to question whether the owners really want to play this season. Like, when you hear some reports say the owners would lose more if they play than if they don't play, I'm wondering how much they really care, because this proposal on Tuesday is nowhere close to what you're going to get the players to agree to. You're asking some players, and granted they are the higher paid players in Major League Baseball, to be playing half a season for 20% of what they signed for. They know how that's going to go over with the Players Association. They know that's not something that is anywhere close to being agreed to. And they play it both ways, where they're going to say, we'll give most of the prorated salaries to the lower-end players to make it look like they're taking care of the guys that need the money. Yet at the same time, they're not paying the minor leaguers. The Oakland A's announced they're not going to pay their minor leaguers a dime this year. And you know how much it would cost them to pay all their minor league players? Just north of $1 million. And that's not something the Oakland A's are willing to do. The owners should be taking this hit. I've said it for weeks. They are the ones who should be taking this hit. Now, instead of them taking it, they're looking to put it on the higher-priced players in Major League Baseball, the guys who truly make the money for the league. The owners, nobody's watching the games to watch, you know, them sit in a box. We're paying and we're watching the games to watch these guys on the field. They are already agreeing to pay to play for half. I think they are agreeing to go even further. But when the owners, you know, send out this kind of proposal, which has guys, the majority of the league, playing for 25 to 35% of what they would have originally gotten, that's not going to go over. And the owners know that full well. Also, we've discussed the NHL going to their 2014 playoff format. Should be interesting. I mean, we don't know much else other than that. They still don't know what cities they're playing in. They still have to figure out the health side of it. But they have at least figured out what the NBA is still trying to, that they will do a 2014 playoff tournament. Flyers in an interesting situation where they're a top four seed in their conference. They'll play a round robin. As Al told us all this yesterday before they announced it. But the Flyers, I guess, will play Boston, Tampa, and Washington to determine seeding there. So that's what the NHL is looking like. And then the NBA, they're still trying to figure out their postseason structure. But I really hope they don't go to this World Cup group stage format, which wouldn't be fair to a lot of teams. And one of the teams that would suffer, I think, the most would be the Sixers, considering where they are in the standings and being in the weaker of the conferences in the East. 215-592-9494. And over the past few weeks, we talked a lot about the the Last Dance and the Michael Jordan documentary that has been going on ESPN, which I loved. And one of these stories that has come out of this that has taken a lot of attention over the last several weeks is the portrayal of different players, and especially Horace Grant, who, let's face it, was a pretty important player on those first three championship teams. Really was the guy in the Dennis Rodman role from 91 to 93. I don't remember that as well. I remember the second three-peat pretty well with Rodman and the Jazz series especially. I don't really remember that first three-peat. But Horace Grant was a critical piece of that team. He did not, if you believe what you saw in the documentary, which has to be taken with a grain of salt considering Michael Jordan had a lot of say over it, Horace Grant didn't come off all that well. And obviously, Horace Grant and Michael Jordan do not in any way have a good relationship. And a lot of that stems from the Sam Stein book that came out in, I believe, 93, The Jordan Rules, where there were quotes in there from a Bulls source and a lot of derogatory quotes about Michael Jordan, about what's going on in the locker room, about what kind of teammate he was. And, I mean, Jordan came out in the documentary and said flat out, Horace Grant was the guy who leaked all this stuff. Horace Grant has taken big-time exception to this. He thinks he has not been portrayed well, and he absolutely says he was not the person who leaked this information. Here's Horace Grant on whether he was the source in that book, The Jordan Rules.
Let me tell you, man, that's a damn lie. I wish I could say something else, but that's a damn lie. You know, Sam Smith was an investigative reporter. And when you write a book, I guess you have to have two sources, correct?
Correct.
Why would MJ just point me out? If you got a problem with me, come to me. Then we can take care of it like men. Don't try to put me out there, because I didn't say anything to Sam in the sanctity of that locker room. Point blank. And for an example, Sam spent more time with a lot of other my teammates. He even spent time with MJ up in the MJ suite and on the golf course and lunch and dinners. So for him to come out and say that, that's just a blatant lie. Lie. If you want to tell lies, go ahead. You know, it's a free country.
So that sound, by the way, is courtesy of BET, and I think I had said Sam Stein. It's Sam Smith who wrote that book.
I thought the first time you said it, I thought you said Sam Smythe. I was like, that's an interesting way of pronouncing Smith.
No, I think I said Sam Stein, but it was Sam Smith. So obviously, Horace Grant, he claims he wasn't the guy who leaked that information. And the odds are, you know, there was so much information in that book, and the that it probably wasn't just one person. It was probably several people, as B.J. Armstrong indicated during the documentary.
Yeah, and it was the Final Dance presented by Bet Online.
Oh, Bet Online. I thought it was BET. Sorry. You said, yeah.
And you admitted the list.
No, Mike, and that's exactly what Mike wrote on there. So the Final Dance special on Bet Online's YouTube page. Thank you, Mike.
What about proper credit?
Right. Got to give out the proper credit. Another thing that made Horace Grant not look very good during this was the rumors that Michael Jordan, after bad games, would starve him on planes and not allow him to eat. Here's Horace Grant on that issue.
I know. I mean, I wasn't there for the second three-peat, but I knew some of the guys on that team. And I know damn well, if you're going to call Harp and a few other guys, the b****s and hoes, they weren't going to stand for that. I'm pretty sure they edited that out of the documentary, that Harp going back at him on that. But saying that, let me clear something up about this food thing, that he tried to take my food.
I was just going to ask you.
Listen to me. Where's the camera? would have beat his ass, guys. Listen, he can say to the stewardess all he want to, oh, yeah, he shouldn't eat. That's okay. Go ahead. You know, I'm going to say what I have to say. But you come back and try to take my food, I would have whipped his ass. It wouldn't be no Air Jordan right now.
Right.
Okay? Yeah, Bill, stop the fight, Bill. Stop the fight, Bill.
Hey. Yeah, it wouldn't have been those six championships. I guarantee you that.
I mean, that's pretty easy to say after the fact. I don't know if I believe that one, that Michael would. I could actually see that being true. I could see Michael Jordan trying to do that, but I'm not.
Why would Jordan intentionally like lie about that? Like, there's no, like, yeah. All he does is look bad.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say after the fact he would have knocked him out. He obviously never did when you guys played together, and Jordan was obviously a jerk to you. According to a lot of people, the only guy that stood up to him was like Bill Cartwright, and that was the only person that he didn't mess with. But this last one is the most interesting. I actually think Horace Grant, at the end of it, makes a very good point. You know, he obviously takes a lot of offense to being called a snitch. And Horace Grant obviously didn't like that. Didn't like the portrayal of Scottie Pippen in this documentary as well. Here's Horace Grant on Michael Jordan being the actual snitch.
It was straight up bullshit. It was straight up bullshit. How they portrayed Scotty. I mean, in terms of being the number two on that team, and how he came out. I mean, in terms of against Utah, could barely walk. Like how I said, setting screens, getting knocked on the floor, the whole nine yards. And for them, that documentary to call him, well, MJ called him selfish. That's some BS. That's straight up BS. If it wasn't for Scottie Pippen, there would be no six championships. I'm telling you right now, guys. I mean, the first championship, where I think MJ got in foul trouble with against the Lakers and Magic. Who came to the rescue? Number 33, Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen. And yes, indeed, he made a mistake. We addressed that after the game. And it was over with. And we took the Knicks to seven games. And my question is, how in the hell did that get on this documentary when MJ ad wasn't even on the team?
Interesting. Never thought of that, brother. I never thought about that.
That's very interesting. And as far as let me get back to something, because I have to vent now. I got this opportunity. Didn't he call all of his former teammates out with the cocaine and the weed and the women? So who's the snitch?
I love the end of that clip. It's not a bad – I mean, that's really not a bad point by Horace Grant. Yeah, I mean, Jordan really did sell all those guys out there.
All right, yeah, that last part, fine. The first part, you know, I think he used BS four times. The first part's BS. Scottie Pippen elected to not make himself fit to perform at the start of the season because he wanted to enjoy his summer, in his words. Mm-hmm. His words, not Jordan's words. His words.
Right.
What does foul trouble from 7 years ago have to do with anything? He's still selfish for doing that.
I agree with that. But I will say, no matter what he said, though, he culminated it really nicely. Like, he brought it back in the end when he's, you know, who was the guy snitching about the women and the weed and the cocaine and all that stuff? And then the way he ends it, who's the bleeping snitch? I mean, you can't disagree with that. I mean, that's a good point. So, in the end, I like Horace Grant at least coming out and giving us something to talk about.
Yeah, I like the previous cut, too. And he's been on the Zoom call for like 40 minutes at this point on a laptop. It's pretty clear where the camera is. And he goes, wait a minute, where's the camera?
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted the camera for that one. So thank you to Horace Grant. That will conclude our Last Dance conversation, at least for now. We'll see if anything else comes of it. But I'm excited. I'm wondering what they're going to do next Last Dance on. I'd like to see one on Barry Bonds. I'd like to see one on Tiger. I think that's one that down the road will have to get done.
I guess Monday morning, you and I could talk about the Roy Halladay one.
Yeah. Is that Aaron Sunday?
Friday.
Oh, Friday. All right, good. Yeah, I want to watch that. So, yeah, we'll talk about that on Monday morning. Thanks to Mike producing the show tonight. I'll be back with you Saturday into Sunday next time I'm on. Next up, we'll talk to Al for the Overlap Show. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.